So, hi everybody, and welcome to the famous Marketing Mastery Program, the program that will catapult you into success this year and next, if you do the work, which many of you are doing it really well. Some people are having some exciting things happen, especially Sarah. She's got a couple proposals out there, and Carol is planning her next course, and Nancy is lighting the whole world on fire with her stuff. And so what I said is looking forward to meeting. I want to talk about your most pressing issue. This is the issue for you that if resolved, you would take your business to the next level. This has to start with clarity about what you really want, but perhaps have been struggling with to make happen. So I want you to think outside present limitations of what you think is possible. So when we're working on our business, it's easy for things to fall into a particular routine. Some of you probably wouldn't call that you're in a routine. You're sort of on the edge of trying to get things to happen. But we get into a routine, we do what we do, and we often forget to connect with our purpose, our direction, what we really want to accomplish, and we fall into a certain amount of randomness. Now, this is inevitable. I'm not saying that one can be on purpose and focused and being productive 100% of the time. I mean, I certainly can't. But focus around your business, the game of marketing, producing results is important. And one of the things to ask ourselves is, where am I? What do I need to know now? What am I taking for granted? What am I, what have I maybe not given up on, but what am I sort of slacking at? You know what I'm talking about? It's sort of like, oh, well, I can wait till tomorrow, and I don't have to really do a lot of work on that proposal. And, of course, I can put off any follow-up calls till the next day and the next day and the next day. And the next day, infinitum, et cetera, et cetera. That website stuff that I wanted to change, well, that was 3 weeks ago, and now I've forgotten it. Yeah, various things like that. But what is your most pressing issue? And since Nancy might not be with us the whole call because she's juggling with her family, wouldn't it be great when your family is back to school? At least you're...
kind of, but my daughter's leaving home, so...
Oh, yeah. My God. She's going to college?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's your most pressing issue right now? Let's just have a conversation about this. Where are you right now?
When you first asked that question, my initial thought was, I guess I was thinking more, you said think outside the box. And so I went, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I had other people who worked for me that generated income so I didn't have to just depend on me. And that is really not something I've been working toward, but it's interesting to me that that popped into my head because it seems impossible. I don't know how to do that. But in the short term, my most pressing issue I'm working on, which is getting things really organized and getting structure in place. And this is sort of an aside, but I just managed to get back on the preferred supplier list at 3M, which was one of my biggest clients, and then they had a restructure and they limited the number of people on their list. So I just got back on their list, and that could be so fabulous.
Right. We've been talking about that since day one.
Yeah, we have.
And you know, you made it happen. In case you didn't know. You just kept at it.
Yep.
Kept asking. Kept knocking on doors.
Yeah. And in the meantime, I've started really like making calls right now, sort of under the guise of I'm doing a project where I'm interviewing potential clients and past clients. Like that's what I do for a living. So I'll write a report of it and share it with them. But in the meantime, it's getting me in the mood and in the mode of contacting people and asking what they're up to. And so it feels really good. And I've got these two staff people now that are working for me and trying to remember to delegate to them and have them learn things. So I think the biggest thing then, the next thing after this all gets into place for me might be how can I either train one of them to do some of what I do so that she can generate income, or how can I increase this without having to work more?
Yeah, really. You mean you don't want to work 16 hours a day? What's wrong with you?
I already do that, but I do that because I'm a mom. I don't want to have to do it even more. I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how are you doing with the interviews? Are you lining up interviews? Have you done any yet?
Yep. I have done 3 so far.
Okay.
And, today I was interviewing somebody, and she spontaneously thought of someone else to connect me to. I didn't even have to ask. So I'm going to follow up with her. I'm having lunch with her next week, and then I'm going to remind her about that. That's exciting, you know, just to start networking more without feeling like I'm selling. I think my business is very, as yours are too, you guys, I know, relationship oriented, and I feel like, and it may just be my comfort level, but I think that for my business, that people want, I think it's a combination. My comfort is in building relationships, but I'm also learning by these interviews, I'm learning things I could develop and offer that would be, that would add value to my clients and then therefore make me maybe a more valuable supplier to them.
So offering new things in terms of the kinds of research or focus groups you do, sort of, yeah.
It can be that. It can be also services within the focus group or the qualitative research projects. It can even be style, like how we offer it. And just gaining insight about things that are valuable, things that are perceived more valuable that I can add in to how I interact with them. Like, for example, today this woman said that she really preferred to work with suppliers who are very strategic and partner with her, so she feels like they're her partner and that they're willing to say, you know what, this project is not working. People don't want it. And just thinking about stylistically what I do.
Okay.
So it's valuable. It's really valuable. I don't know if it'll generate any business because I'm not being...
Well, I think it will indirectly. I think it's one of the most valuable things you can do to get into the heads of your clients. You're freezing up a little bit on your cell phone.
Oh, I don't know what to do about it.
Nothing, perhaps.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's good. When does that project wrap up?
Mid-September.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you'll interview how many people?
Well, I'd like to interview 12 to 20 people, but I haven't gotten that much response. So the next phase of it is going to be a survey, which will be a little bit different, but I'll still get some good input and put myself in their minds again.
Okay. So you've made requests to people. You made the request via email or phone messages or both?
I have somebody else doing that for me. I think he's doing a combination. Because it's a research project, yeah, it would be atypical for me to line up the interviews.
Fine.
So
he's, but his, hi Sharon, welcome to the call. So, so he's not getting a lot of good response?
Well, people are really busy. So, yeah. I'm not surprised. But the people who are responding to me are people who have been in the field for a long time and they have some perspective. And it helps me understand changes in the field because I've been in the field a long time.
Yeah.
So it's okay. And then the other kind of calls I can make differently. People might not want to participate in a research study, but if I call them and I ask them if I can just talk to them for a few minutes about what they're up to and what they're needing, I don't think that I'll get the same reaction. I think I'll get more response.
Okay. Okay. So if I was to zero it down to your most pressing issue to solve right now, what would that be?
You know, it really just continues to be time management and getting structure in place there, and I'm working on that. I've got a new software platform I'm using and my team is using. So Because I, like, here I am, I'm sitting outside, you know, I'm waiting for my daughter. I haven't shared with you guys all, but my family has some mental illness issues going on. And so I'm the sane one, sort of. And
sort
trying to manage that. It's affecting me. But
yeah.
Trying to manage that and be the caregiver and the breadwinner. I just feel like this program has been so helpful to me because it gives me focus and purpose, and I've made a lot of changes, and it's given me confidence to do things. So it's making a big difference.
Yeah. So that's the question to live with. It's how can I have, despite all this craziness, how can I have balance, get a lot done?
Yeah.
Not overwork?
Yeah. Enjoy my life before I die.
Enjoy your life. You got a few years left, a few miles left on you. But yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. So who else, who wants to share next? And maybe I'll call on somebody. I'm going to call on you, Sarah Taylor.
Hi.
Hi.
So I guess I think my most pressing issue is maybe one of focus. So just because I feel like I am pulled in so many directions, I do have a full-time job. I am pursuing some leads with the business, those sorts of things. I feel like there are times when I'm not able to give it the focus that I know it needs.
Yeah.
And like I have an idea, and I shared with you, Robert, that I connected with a HR consulting firm, and I got on their list of preferred vendors, so they'll recommend companies who have employees who are on the autism spectrum to me. And there are other HR consulting firms that I'm like, oh, well, I should connect with all of them. But I haven't pursued that at all. It's been, you know, a couple of weeks. I just haven't had time. I just have been really, really busy and really fast.
By the way, let me mute it for you. Okay, so Sharon, I'm trying to mute you here. There you go. Okay. Speak up, Sarah. Okay. So, you know, I think this is valid in some cases, but when you say I don't have time, the truth is you didn't make the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And you're busy. So, you know, sometimes it's not possible. But sometimes when you're doing something like that, it's very hard. I mean, it's hard in terms there is limited time. There's a reality to that. But the question is, in a week or so, can I make a call or two here or there? I bet you could if you know, you plan it into your day, but it's so easy not to. I know.
Right.
I have some things I want to be doing I'm not getting to. I'm guilty of it too. Yeah. So, you know, I think in some ways your pressing issue should be this. What is it going to take to transition to full-time in your business? Now, this is not going to happen in a month or two or three. But this is what I would, if I was in your place, this is what I would be obsessing about.
Mm-hmm.
See, if it gets to the point that you want to be working your business more than anything else, somehow it's tricky, because if I don't generate income in my new business, I can't leave the old business.
Exactly.
I don't know if are you earning enough money to save? Are you saving money right now?
No.
You're not saving money?
Very little.
Because you can't save money, or you're spending money that maybe you could be saving?
No, right now I'm not in a place to do very much saving.
Yeah, so you're in a kind of tricky place there.
Mm-hmm.
That they gave you a raise.
No, that actually didn't happen.
They gave you more responsibilities but no raise?
That's right.
Don't you love that? Employers do that. Good news, you have more responsibilities. Good news, you'll have to work harder. Good news, we're not paying you anymore.
Well, Ann took away one of my staff, so I have a smaller team, which means that I have more responsibilities, same amount of money, and a business on the side. So
that's challenging.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
So what are you going to do about that?
Well, I guess I...
That's called a pressing issue.
That's the pressing issue, yeah. I would love to be generating enough income from the business within the next year or so. So my contract for this position ends in June of 2017. I would love by that time not to sign another contract and not to be full-time in my business by then.
Okay. So that's 10 months. I mean, that's doable. That is doable. But it isn't doable unless you have some kind of a breakthrough.
Right.
And I'm also saying not you should. It's not that you should have a breakthrough, and if you don't have a breakthrough, you're not working hard enough. It's just, it's like a puzzle. It's not about hard working necessarily. It's like a puzzle you have to figure out. How am I going to get more connections, more visibility, more credibility? How am I going to fit that into my day, given that I've got this job that has more responsibility? Because if you keep doing what you're doing, it you might not get there.
Right.
So, and look, you're, by the way, what happened so far with the airport deal?
It's looking promising. I still haven't heard a final word from them, but they emailed my client, Nathan, and said that they're going to go along with all of the recommendations. So I'm still waiting for them to contact me with that, but they have given him a verbal confirmation that they'll do that.
So okay.
It sounds good. It sounds like a contract.
Okay, so if and when you get the contract and you've got a number of hours with Nathan you'd have to spend, mm-hmm. plus doing some training, how are you going to fit that into your job?
I've already planned for it. I've planned the schedule very, very carefully to be able
okay.
to do that.
So you just disappear for a couple of days and they wonder where you went, right? Only kidding. Oh, I'm doing my other business. Okay.
Yeah, I've got some flexibility with time. I can build it into my schedule to be off-site for hours at a time. So
okay. So you can do that. So so one of your solutions might be, well, I have to be off-site marketing sometimes. It's easy to, when they're paying you, you can arrange it and it'll work. But if you're not, you can be kind of coasting.
Yeah.
Am I being too hard on Sarah? Because I'll tell you, if I've ever worked with a client that I want to succeed, it's you. I really do. And you keep trying things. You've done great stuff. You have a great website. You've done some proposals. You're reaching out to people. And so... It's sort of like what got you to where you are now won't necessarily get you full time within 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I started at the end of 2009 or 2008, financial crash and everything happened. And I said, what the hell am I going to do? And then I came up the plan with the mastery programs and the club at the same time.
Right.
I worked, I can't even work those hours anymore, kill my back. But I worked a tremendous amount of hours writing, designing.
Yeah.
And I had to be a different person than I was before.
And I guess part of me thinks that a possible solution is that idea of being set up as a referrer for, as a referral source for all of these HR consulting companies, because then they do the source work for me. I don't have to go out and find these individuals who are on the spectrum. They're able to bring them to me. So I think the more of them I can connect with, the more possible business. But
yeah, so I think that is a good strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a lot of strategies, but you know, you can have a strategy to reach them. You can have a strategy to do direct outreach, but that's harder,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily impossible. I mean, there's some organizations. See, you're somebody that they don't know they need and are legally obligated to
right.
use in some cases. So it's not the hardest thing. It's not like selling copier toner. You don't have any competition.
Right.
Just remember that. I have no competition. Nevertheless, it's a lot of calls, it's a lot of follow-up, it's a lot of, that takes time.
Yeah.
So if you want to focus mostly on the HR agencies, you want to set a goal. How many HR agencies in Calgary?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you should know that.
Yeah, I should.
See, you don't really have a game plan without knowing that.
Sure.
So the next time you meet, tell me how many there are. And find
yeah.
do more research. Find out who are the players, who are the eight, who are the directors there. Who could I call? Is there any affiliation? Maybe even without affiliation, you can call these people. I think you can. We already worked up a basic script for this, right?
We did.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking about the script.
I'm just thinking about other companies as well.
I know. You know, it's scary. It's like, oh my God. You know, it could actually work. So maybe there are 10 or only
yeah.
five. So
they're probably closer to 10, and they do kind of, they specialize in different areas. So
yeah.
the one that I connected with is small and medium-sized businesses, SME. And so, yeah, I think they have, there were four or five other ones like that, but there are some that specialize in larger companies or a special
okay.
or a certain industry. So.
Okay, so that could work in all kinds of industries.
Absolutely.
Do you have ones that are mostly around people that do tech work, where you're probably more likely to find people on the autism spectrum?
I think there are, yeah.
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 So the first part in any plan is to get your ducks in a row. I was, who was I talking to? Yeah, it's my client. I have a client, a new client who helps mothers get pregnant, helps with fertility. And she kept saying, is it her? God, I can't remember. I got to get a list. I said, okay, I've heard it enough times. Just do the damn list, will you? So get that list. And so what you need to think of, we all need to think of this, we also have to think of short-term projects. So you have a long-term project, but you can't do that long-term project. You can't do the 10-month thing, but you can say, okay, I'm going to play this game where, by God, I'm going to reach those 10 organizations and have sit-down conversations with them.
Yeah.
I do everything I can. You won't get all of them. Some won't want to meet with you. Some will. Some will be harder. Some will be easier. Some will love the fact that you're doing this. Who knows? But it's like, okay, that's my game until I can't play it anymore, until I've got everybody I can get. And then I find a way to keep in touch with them and cross my fingers that they start sending me people. And then it's sort of on passive mode. And then you look, okay, well, what's next? What's next? You know, you're doing the one for the women's shelter next month sometime, right?
Yeah.
Your first actual training?
Yeah.
Anyway, you get the idea?
Mm-hmm.
It's a project. It's like, it's the dog with the bone project.
Yeah.
Do you get that imagery, or is that weird imagery?
No, I
get it. It's like a pound that I cannot take away from you. I got this one. I get it. You have fun with it. And it's real. And it's not vague, all these million other things that you can do. And you've built the foundation for this now. You're ready for that. And you're just making it happen. And that, you can do that, right? You can find
it. I can. I actually got another really interesting ask for a proposal to do some training in Jamaica. I'm like super excited about. Yeah.
Do some training in Jamaica?
Yeah. A random connection that, yeah. Anyway, so I have to send them a proposal next week as well. So.
Okay. And you've also got the one for the Better Business Bureau. Anything happening with that?
Not much. That's just the waiting game right now.
Yeah. So put up your hand if you, let me just go to gallery view here. Put up your hand if you know that clients simply just delay for the sake of delay. Yes? By the way, Leanne, where are you? I see your picture, but I don't see you. Are you there?
I'm here.
Can we see you?
Now that I finished lunch, why not?
I see. She was hiding that she was eating lunch. Okay, good. Sometimes I think when someone's hiding, they're double tasking. They're doing God knows what else on the call. Anyway, it's like you're behind the shield. Anyway, so, you know, it's just something that happens for all of us. It's, you know, I learned that early in my career. Yes, I want to do this. Yes, I want to do it. And just nothing ever happens. It just doesn't. And these people are even legally obligated to do something, and yet they just hope it goes away.
Yeah.
But it won't go away, and maybe it'll blow up on them at some point. She had this client. She has this guy on the autism spectrum who was really doing well as a salesperson for the Better Business Bureau, right?
Yeah.
And then she gets another supervisor. And all of a sudden, the supervisor is putting pressure on him. He's the best, highest producer there. And so she's giving pressure, and so he's not reacting well to it. You know, this is where we need Super Sarah to swoop in and make things better, and they just, they're not making it happen.
In fact, he produces so highly that he made $30,000 in salary in commission more than his supervisor.
No wonder she's pissed off with him. They should let her go.
So
that's an interesting situation. So maybe I have to be a little more hard ass with that. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. We got to resolve this. He should take over the bureau. Holy cow. But he's probably not good at managing people, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So he's having all sorts of personnel issues, and they're getting in the way of him being successful at work. So.
Oh, well, we can't solve all the world's problems. I mean, this guy should be stuck in a booth just making calls. You should hire him.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, he sounds like what I need.
Oh, God, I'd love a salesperson like that. He's got the script. He's got the words. He knows how to do it in selling, no less.
I think it's probably like his autistic features that make him a good salesperson, because he doesn't take anything personal. He doesn't really care what you have to say. He'll press through it. He doesn't mind calling you 12 times in a row. You know, like all of the things.
Doesn't take no for an answer. Yeah,
exactly. I'm sure it's so all of those features make him really good at what he does.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So who wants, thank you, Sarah. Are we all rooting for Sarah? Yeah. Get into those organizations before some other person who really doesn't know their stuff tries to corner the market. See, there could be somebody else who doesn't know as much as you, but is a more aggressive marketer that has nothing to lose. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm, you know, really, but trying to put the fear of God into you. You know, you want to imagine your life, you know, when you've got your own business and you're doing this kind of stuff and really helping a lot of people. And now you're even helping people. You're helping people now in your job, but you really want it. I know that. Okay, who's next? Okay, Carol, unmute yourself.
So when I read the email, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of time to give this some thought.
No, right? I'm sorry.
But the first thing that came to my mind was my managed care contracts. And it's a limitation on my fees. I can't charge more than my contract. And the fees are, you know, seemingly set, you know, without me having any impact on what they would be. So, you know, there's a lot of options. There's, okay, just drop all my managed care, but I don't think that's viable. I don't want to do that. I've already dropped my lowest paying one and added the highest paying one. So I've already helped that. And it was a process, but that I'm all done with that. And that's helpful. But what I've noticed is that some therapists have on their website, like, why you maybe don't want to use your insurance and make a case for, okay, yeah, you know, the managed care is positive in that it brings clients to me, and I don't have to market almost at all to get these one-on-one clients. So part of the reason I'm not wanting to let them go is they just come to me. And I worked hard to get on with them and all that kind of stuff. So that's a good thing. So if I can just now convince them not to use it, that's the perfect thing.
Okay, for me, that's a great marketing conversation. How you know, persuading something to do something so that way. So what are all the advantages of paying by yourself?
So I've already began this process verbally on the phone with people, especially. I mean, I try to do it a lot. I don't do it every conversation, but especially when it seems like there's an option that they are in that market. So, you know, I just, you know, they're looking at the advantages, disadvantages, but I'll bring it up. I say, well, do you have insurance you are planning on using? And, you know, if yes, I said, well, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages to using your insurance. Of course, the advantage is, you know, you get that contract rate. But if you work with me outside of your insurance privately, that's the only way to guarantee your total privacy. As far as your, you know, information, your mental health being part of your permanent record. You know, of course, what we talk about in session is confidential, but once I send that code off to the insurance company for payment, that becomes part of your record. And like, if you're going to go to, you know, get life insurance or things like that, it's protected information under HIPAA, but it's not as private as if you didn't use your insurance. So it's totally up to you what you want to do.
And some people have said, oh, that's interesting.
I've had people go that way and not use insurance.
Yeah.
So it
gives you a little more flexibility in the term of work, perhaps, as well, right? You know, sometimes it will only cover X number of sessions, whereas we're more flexible. We can work, you know, but whatever.
It used to be that way. It used to be that insurance limited your number of sessions. Somehow now it's wide open, and that's not so much a limitation. But another advantage would be, you know, we can do some telephone sessions because that's not covered by insurance. And sometimes a telephone session is handy in between times of coming in. So, you know, maybe I need to come up with some more advantages. And I don't know, you know, ethically, morally, what kind of other incentives I can offer that's still okay to do. You know, I don't want it to look like I am working my ass off, so you're not using your insurance. I want it to be very matter of fact and, you know, but look, this can actually benefit you, and, you know, it's up to you completely, which it is.
How much difference would this make per session for you?
It just depends on what insurance they have. So, you know, for my lowest paying one, you know, we're looking at like a $45 possibly difference per session, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it does add up, you know, over time and over weeks. I mean, I'm looking at maybe, I don't know, it could add at least $20,000 a year. I'm thinking if I can get closer to my private rate, which I'll take that.
Yeah, $20,000 is not insignificant.
Yeah, so that's one idea I have as far as maybe posting something on my website in writing, you know, about the differences between, like, should I, like a question, should I use my insurance or not? And kind of, you know, put some of that information on there, but then verbally, you know, potentially go there on the conversation when they schedule. So yeah. That's one thing. And then another idea is to renegotiate my contracts, which I really didn't think I would have that much influence, but I don't really know that. I'm just assuming it, but I don't know that that's really true. And every week I get an email about contract renegotiation webinar, and I think it's pricey. It's only an hour, and I don't know if I'm going to get enough valuable information in that hour to make it worthwhile. So either I can just bite the bullet and pay for it, $177.
$170?
$177,
$190. Oh, 1 hour
yeah.
Webinar? Yeah. That's interesting.
But
you or is there some kind of guarantee of satisfaction?
No.
Why not? I would ask for it. That's a lot of money for a 1 hour thing. But anyway.
Yeah, I thought so.
Look, do you think that might help you increase your income by $177 next year? Probably.
Only if I get a contract to renegotiated. And that's a big if. I'm still, I'm wary of it.
Do they have the inside scoop on this?
Well, this webinar is marketed for, you know, these managed care contracts, but I don't know if it's specific enough for mental health. It could be for, you know, physicians. It could be for a lot of different type of medical professionals. So I thought I'd call the 800 number and ask, although I'm, you know, we'll see my impression of how they respond to me. But it's not, I'm not sure that they're going to have the real inside scoop for what I need to renegotiate.
Okay, so find out.
So.
Wish I could give you the answer. I can't. No.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what the going rate is?
For contracts, you mean, or just privately?
Contracts. Just that it give you some possible negotiating leverage.
Well, all I know, I mean, you know, the other therapists that have my same degree, it's like no secret, you know, it's pretty much, you know, what it is. And most therapists aren't going to take that step to renegotiate it. I just know nobody's doing that. But I thought, well, I could post it on therapist Facebook group and see if anybody has done it. And maybe somebody has. And I do know a psychologist who has successfully done that. So even though a psychologist is a different position than a LCSW, she can give me some tips. So I'm going to ask her. But I haven't made it a priority. That's the bottom line. Because it just seems like such a big undertaking. And you only get one shot at it, really. I mean, if I'm going to do it, I want to know what I'm doing.
So. Yeah.
Unless you're autistic.
Yeah.
Well, no, Leanne just renegotiated a thing with a coach, and she just asked, you know.
Well.
Given this and given that. Now, that was sort of simpler. It's not a massive bureaucracy of the healthcare system, all that kind of crap. So.
The big thing was I knew, because I work with several contractors, I knew they were low.
You see, they can just say to me, they don't care, really. They're a brilliant therapist. And bless you.
Excuse me.
I mean, if I don't like it, they don't. I mean, I don't see where I have any leverage. So I have to figure out what makes a difference. Why would they be motivated to give me more money over any other, you know, because it's such a big, big network of people.
Yeah. So you have the options. Ask around. See other people that did. See if someone will share with you. Call the organization. See if they've helped therapists. If they haven't, don't do it. If they have a lot, consider it, right? And then remember Robert's rules of asking.
What? Which are?
Ask more often. Here's something I discovered. Now, this is generic. It doesn't necessarily fit with this exactly, but it's useful. So this is what Sarah's, the guy at the Better Business Bureau, he understands this intuitively. He asks, and they say no, and he finds a different way to ask. And then he finds a different way to ask. And there's statistics about this in selling that, you know, in across industry, that the sale is made after 7 asks. So, you know, this might apply to other people even more than you, but it's like, oh, I'm not sure that's right for me. Well, here's something other to consider. In our meeting, we could talk about this. How does that sound to you? Well, I don't know. I'm not really sure I'm ready to start. Well, that's okay. You know, we'll just explore. Because I think there's a good chance that I could really make a difference. But we take an hour to explore. We might come up with a way that you could move forward. Just generically. And so you ask, you know, I found that when you ask a couple times, the closing rate goes up. It doesn't go up by 5%. It goes up by 600%. It's like dramatic. And not always. But most people give up after the first ask. So if you have 7 asks, you know, you have a higher chance. Most people give up after 1 or 2. Almost everybody. So they don't have another way to ask. So, you know, basically you're approaching your bureaucracy that has certain guidelines. And because they're, is it governmental based? No, it's healthcare based. Are there government regulations about that? So usually there's things that you can do. There's a process you can follow. And if you follow that process, and maybe that's what that webinar, they know that process. Mm-hmm. They'll do everything to, for instance, if you want to get disability, you don't just call and you say, hey, fell down the stairs, broke my back, need disability. 2 years later after negotiating, they give you the damn disability.
Well, yeah, after you get a lawyer and, you know.
Yeah, they don't make it easy for you, but there is a path. You know, basically, the policy is we say no to every single person on the first call. The insurance company, there was a movie about that. No is always the first answer because a lot of people just give up, so we save money there. Mm-hmm. Maybe is the second answer, you know. In fact, we don't say yes until we go to litigation. Now, if the insurance company was doing that all the time, that would be a problem. They'd go out of business as well. But you know what I'm saying is you're looking at different inroads and possibilities. And if it's worth $20,000, it might be worth a little discomfort to do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe it's a hopeless cause. Give up. I don't know. But putting that on your website, talking to them about it, playing it, you know, so you can find out how it works.
So, I mean, just to think about if anyone has any ideas on like other incentives that I can create so people feel like they just rather not use their insurance. I don't have any other ideas right now other than
what percentage are you being paid less than when they pay you directly? 20%?
It could be 20-40%.
20-40%.
Or more, just depending on the service. But yeah, I mean, 40%.
Okay, here's something. May or may not work. So for people that pay me directly instead of the insurance, I give them a little bonus. After 10 sessions, I give you a complimentary session. So that's a 10%. as opposed to 20 to 40%. So, but you don't necessarily offer that on the first thing. You say, here are some of the reasons. Says, oh, I don't know. Well, here's the one last thing. If you do this, this is what we do. That might be the ask that people say, oh, that sounds like a good deal. Okay, so that's a 10% discount anyway. I don't know.
Well, like, because it used to be, I don't know if they're still doing this, but if you would pay cash at a doctor's office or something, you would get a certain percentage discount. I think that's illegal now. I don't think they can do that. But I remember that happening before, because I remember asking for that. And they said, no, we can't do that. It's like something changed at some point. I don't know, Leanne, if you're familiar, because you look like you're nodding your head like you know that what I'm talking about. But so I don't want to. I don't know. I don't want to break any laws. I'm not really sure what I can do.
Well, it's worth talking to a lawyer about, because they.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to get. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm a little nervous to even kind of go down that road, but yeah.
Well, they're not allowed to go. If they know you have insurance, at least in California, they have to do that. You could lie about not having insurance, I suppose, and I don't know. Let's not go there. That's not too helpful. But anyway, it's something that you should keep playing with, because it's a way to give yourself a big raise.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Who wants to go next? We've got Sharon, we've got Udo, we've got Sharon wants to go. Okay. Let's see.
Can I unmute?
Yes. Kept muting you. Yeah, there's all this background noise.
I'm outside.
Oh, you have a different backdrop. It's nice.
Yes. I'm outside because it's just stinking hot in the house.
Oh, okay. Those eastern summers. So what's up? What's the biggest pressing issue?
Well, I had a meeting yesterday with a past client.
That's Paul.
That's Paul.
Famous Paul. And,
I'm a so a couple things. One is, you're right. You have to ask. I mean, this is a guy that I've done work with before that thinks we're brilliant, that loves what we're doing, and has never actually made a referral. So I asked him about that, and he's like, oh, I just didn't think of it.
You know? Exactly.
Like,
there's no insidious thing. He was very happy. He just never thought about it.
Yeah. So, and I wanted to talk about, you know, what had happened, you know, what's happening after the session, and then how to connect with people like him and other companies. And he just took the ball and ran with, okay, how else can you contact people? And how, you know, what are the ways to do that and stuff, and had a whole whack of ideas. And he said, I should be doing speaking at conferences. I found out that even though he was a past client, the way he found us was because somebody presented at a conference in Vancouver about our program. I have no idea who that was. I have no idea. Somebody who did a program here took a bunch of pictures from the session and did a leadership conference in Vancouver featuring our program. Didn't even tell me. I was like, So I asked him about, so he said I should go and speak at a bunch of conferences. He gets tons of stuff across his desk asking him to come and speak. I said, well, that's great, Paul, but I'm a vendor. People, they won't, you know, I've done them before, but now they want published authors and clients and that kind of stuff. So normally before the Robert headbanging sessions, I would have just kind of left it at that.
Can I quote you on that?
Yeah, thanks.
The Robert headbanging sessions.
So instead, it's like, you have to ask. So I said, well, if you get one and you think it would be good for me to speak, would you consider referring us? He says, oh, sure. And maybe I'll come and do it with you. So that would be good. And by the way,
it's not true that you always have to be an author, that you always have to be whatever. It's not true.
No, but getting... I know that the it other helps. Thing he said was, if I propose something somewhere, he would be a reference. And he offered several times to be a reference if people want. I mean, he gave me everything I asked for, except what he wants me to do is to put together a little video that he can share on LinkedIn. But now I have another to do. Because, you know, I told him I'd had some stuff written, and he says, no, he really, what he finds that people share at his level are these little kind of inspirational videos that have a bit of, and so I talked to him about, like, which would be the key messages and that kind of stuff. So I have another to do now. I have to do it in less than the 6 months it took me to write the first article.
I have an idea for you.
Okay.
See if it's worth anything. Is there a film school anywhere in the Toronto area?
Yeah, there's the Toronto Film School.
Okay. Find a film student that needs to do a project. They'll do it for you for free.
Okay, you can try that. My daughter's involved in a acting program with, and her teachers would probably know.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You know, we do this leadership thing with horses, and we want to do a short video of me working with the horses and pointing out certain kinds of things, and it would be really interesting. I mean, they have to do little films like that to graduate, and so if someone's looking for a film, now it's worth trying. Again, it's knocking on a door. It's trying to find who could do it. Because I know the budget for a professional for that can cost you many thousands of dollars. It's pretty. And if you just do it totally amateurish, it's going to look kind of amateurish. Although sometimes you can do something that's pretty simple. I've seen pretty damn good little movies done with an iPhone. It's pretty amazing. So, but yeah, find a way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is Sarah. Sharon, I also wanted to suggest there's a website called freelancer.com.
Right.
That has people who do freelance work in film, photography, graphic design. You can get really good quality work from a freelancer for a fraction of the price that you pay otherwise.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Is that a Canadian site?
Nope, international. Because you find people from anywhere.
There used to be a thing called Elance, and now that's called Upwork.
Oh, no, I don't know what that is.
Well, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Upwork or freelancer.com. Okay, check it out. Yeah, there's a way to get something like that done. Don't do what I did. Somebody did some videos for me that was pretty simple. It cost me $13,000. It was not worth the money.
Yeah, don't do it.
Those videos are on my site. I don't know if they've helped me or not. It's really hard to measure. But something like this could be cool.
Yeah. So, and I'm trying to, what I want to do is just capture a few leadership ideas. There's two ones. One's just to illustrate a leadership idea and how we do that with the horses. And the other is a longer piece on the whole program. So I think I can do the first, at least one of the first ones fairly quickly. Okay. And I'm going to give it a try anyway.
No, so I see my head is kind of where you're actually showing someone working with horses and you're sort of the voiceover.
Yeah, like that.
That kind of thing. And they're getting a sense of,
because I can get the video fairly well. It's the sound that doesn't work easily with the camera I have. So I thought you just put music or voice over top of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You do, or you do a separate soundtrack for it. And yeah, exactly.
So that's
doable. Yeah. But, you know, try to find somebody because they'll, you know, film is very tricky. You know, we see a film and we think, oh, it's easy. And then we see a commercial, and a commercial has, in a 30-second commercial, has 20 different cuts from different things. It's not really long. It's this cut and that cut and this and that. And then music. It's tricky. Tricky stuff.
Yeah. But the thing is, at least I know that if whatever I do, Paul will forward it. So that's good. And he's going to give me a list. I met him at Kraft. So he said, oh, well, so-and-so's at this company and so-and-so's at that company, and they all did your program. So he's going to send me a list of all those people, too.
Oh, have they done your program before? Now they're in another company?
Yeah, they all did it at Kraft, and then Kraft Canada shut down. So all of them are at different companies now.
Kraft Canada shut down?
Yeah, everything. Well, the Canadian office, it's all in the States now.
I see.
So they shut down the executives group.
I got it.
So this is the first time I've actually done a feedback session, Robert.
What's happening there?
The wind.
I see. You're competing with Canvas. Okay, keep going. Yeah.
So anyway, it wasn't as scary as I thought it would be. And I went. So what I did though is I set up a coffee meeting with him in Toronto. It wouldn't have been as easy on the phone.
Yeah.
So for me, I think face to face works better.
Yeah.
Everything was perfect, but it gave me some good ideas on how to do it. And the nice thing is, after people have done the session with the horses, they're generally pretty friendly. They like them with the horses, so they like the session. So. So talking to people who have done stuff with in the past is not bad. It's this talking to people I haven't talked to before that's scary. Like, I haven't heard back from those people that I did the proposal for yet.
Yeah.
Right? So they were, like, very chatty and all of a sudden disappeared.
Yeah. So, well, we talked about some of the reasons for that, as you know. But somebody wanted a fun day with their employees and maybe not a perfect fit. So, my question is, are there other Pauls? Are there other people? You know, you got all the stuff you did in government, and that's kind of a dead end, perhaps. So, you know, are there other Pauls? Are there other people? So the thing is how to, a strategy for connecting these other people, meeting these other people.
Yeah, well, I've had about 300 people go through with the government, and I learned that one of the people that works with Paul was actually involved in the program after they trimmed everything out of it. So she talked to people and they all talked about the program. And I'm sure that some of those government people are working elsewhere now.
Yeah.
So I need to figure out how to troll LinkedIn to find them.
Well, do you have names?
No. Well, I have some. Actually, no, I do have names. I have 5,000 signed liability forms.
5,000?
Well, probably about 1,000.
Okay.
So I guess I could search those names on LinkedIn, huh? Didn't think of that.
Yeah. You know, when you're watching police dramas and, sometimes they show, police work is going through files and doing this and getting records. And obviously they can't show that forever because most of police work is boring like that. Well, some marketing work is kind of boring like that too. It's like sifting through. Yeah. Look, you got the names. You look on LinkedIn.
I didn't keep their company names, but I do actually have their names.
Okay. So put that on your list. We'll talk about that next time in more depth.
Okay. So that's my update.
Start work on that.
Yes, boss.
So, Sharon, I just want to acknowledge you. That's really a breakthrough for you. It's like, oh my God, talking to someone in person like that, and you realize, oh, I just didn't think of that.
Yeah,
it's almost always like that. That's what people don't get. It's easier than we think when we start to ask. It's easier than we think.
I've always tried to frame it's been this question about how to frame it properly, and the reality was just ask, not get all crazy about it.
Just have a conversation and ask, yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, I'll mute myself now.
Congrats. Okay, so we have a couple left, and we've got Udo and we've got Leanne. Would either of you like to share? Udo, we haven't heard anything from you for an age. He doesn't want to share. He's just listening in. We got to catch up with you and see what you're working on, Udo. Okay, Leanne, I guess you're next.
Okay. So I've been working on my yoga stuff. I had a really good meeting with somebody that I shared the vendor tent with at, the Love Your Body Festival back in June. And, she's probably not a source of referrals herself. She gave me the names of three people. And I've met with one of them already, and I've got another meeting scheduled on the 23rd, and I need to reach out to the third.
And who are they?
One of them is, actually, I think she's LCSW. like you, Carol. She's got a space in downtown Herndon called the Village Wellness Center. And she sublets, more like, it's not quite a sublet because it's not like people are in there all the time, but like this woman that I met, you know, she's got a couple of, like most of the people have a couple of jobs, but would like some space to do some stuff on their own, like you, Sarah, you know, that kind of thing. And it's, I went down and looked at the space, met her down there. It's three private offices plus a kind of a more common area, which is a little smaller than my studio here, but the advantage is it's, you know, in, it's downtown, the possibility of cross referrals and also, cross promotion because she's got clients who are interested, in taking yoga. So I'm in the process of exploring. She just sent me the name of somebody, in fact, to add, and I added that to my newsletter list. And then, I'm exploring adding some classes with her. I'm thinking November and December. And
so would this, if you did some classes there, would those be the private classes?
I don't think it's probably not privates because most of my privates, unless I get somebody who wants to come at night and it's already, I mean, I'm teaching classes on Thursday nights. I go to my teacher on Wednesday. I have my son has a meeting on Tuesdays, you know, so it's unlikely. Privates probably I do here during the days. But to do some more group classes down there, might be some good things during, you know, during times when I wouldn't necessarily want to. Do Carol want to say something or?
Can I break in?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, are you looking for referrals? Like someone like me could refer to you? I mean, I'm always looking for yoga instructors for my clients. So I don't know if you've thought about trying to connect with other, like I go to a few therapist networking groups. So if you could go to some of them and say, hey, this is what I have, your clients, you know, all the benefits of yoga for mental health, for anxiety, depression. I know that I would refer to you. So maybe to seek out therapist groups like okay. that.
So, great. So let me ask you, Carol, that's good. So if a yoga instructor was looking for referrals, what would be the best way to contact you about that other than a networking type group?
Well, other than that, I mean, I get contacted by other sorts of people marketing their business through the same way that clients find me through Psychology Today, find a therapist. You can go through their profiles and you can kind of get a sense from their write-up who would be probably even more open to yoga. You know, people that say they're holistic and blah, blah, blah. But even without that, you could just kind of go down the list of all the therapists in your zip code. And just present yourself how you would in an email or a phone call about your services.
Right.
And then would you, and then point to the website? Would a flyer help?
Yeah. I mean, if it's something that perks up my ears, I would look at all the information probably first before talking with somebody. But yeah.
Yeah, it's this anxiety depression thing seems to be popping up a lot. And, on my business card, I have the Yoga Sutra, which is, you know, yoga stills the fluctuations of the mind. That's really ultimately what it's about. I know a lot of people think of it as a physical practice, but that's secondary to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's some work for me there to do.
How many therapists are in your area?
A gazillion.
I mean, that alone, you know, you could get some good referral sources, especially if you have just a handful that really believe in yoga and, you know, you just supply them with cards so they can just hand it to their clients. I bring up yoga to almost all my clients at some point because I believe in it so much.
And you've referred some and they've gone?
Oh, yeah. I've had clients, you know, tell me afterwards how much people that have never done yoga, how much they loved it, how much it's helping their anxiety. I mean, I get very, very good feedback.
Leanne, I think this is our next plan. This makes a lot of sense.
So are you Leanne? Where are you at?
I'm in Virginia.
far. We're North Carolina.
Far enough.
Yeah.
Maybe someday, North Carolina. We'll see.
I have some family out in Virginia.
Ah, where?
Richmond, Mechanicsville, is it Waynesboro? Or yeah, around there. What's the name of that? Begins with an S. Stanton?
But it looks Stanton's further, yeah, west, but yeah. Yeah, Richmond, Mechanicsville, I have a friend who's a teacher out there too. She's great, so if you need any referrals in that area, let me know.
Well, I'll think about in terms of people I know out there, seriously, like family, and if there would be any connections that would make sense.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So good stuff happening there. And then the woman that I'm meeting on the 23rd is a physical therapist who specializes in treating cancer patients. And while I wouldn't necessarily be looking for people with active cancer, certainly after they finish treatment, there are a lot of studies out there on the benefits of doing yoga. And she's already been helpful because I've had a couple of students who needed referrals to good therapists. And because she's got this specialty with cancer, before she started her own business, she used to do a lot of kind of rotating PT stuff. So she really knows the local PT community very well. And so she was able to give me some names of people that I could pass on to my students, which was great. And then the third person is a chiropractor. I still need to reach out to her. The other thing I've done is that I've just set up my fall schedule. It's like a half day event, right? To do all the appointments, create the newsletter, do all that stuff. I did a video on shoulder openers, put that out there so people can see it. I've got a couple of videos up on YouTube now. They're not great. Like Sharon, they're not professional by any means. They're my iPhone stacked up on the fireplace mantle. But you know what? It gives people a sense of who I am and what my teaching style is. And I got a call from somebody yesterday who said, I watched your video on Trikonasana and I want to come to class and I want you to see my 91-year-old mother. Because, right, they get that I'm not like, the average yoga class where things are going at a mile a minute, right? I can adapt according to the body, according to who the person is. And because I teach small classes, the kind of person who's attracted that is the kind of person who's going to enjoy this class. So, or this studio. So, and then I'm working on the speaker pack. I'm supposed to get that to Robert today. Probably will happen. And then I'm working on studying for my next assessment level. That's the big thing in October, early October.
Okay, great, Leanne. We're not meeting again until the 31st, I don't think, end of the month.
Yeah, that sounds right because I'm away next week. I'm in North Carolina, Atlantic Beach.
So before we meet the next time, Leanne, start up your plan for connecting with therapists.
Robert, the reason we're not meeting then is because I got a full schedule between now and then.
Well, find a square inch of your cranium to think about it. This is not a hard plan. Not a list. You figure out a script. You call a certain number of people a week. You send information. It's not a hard. It's much like Sarah's. There. It's a different kind of referral, but it's a kind of referral that can be repetitive. Just as Carol said, there's other therapists like her that get it about yoga and physicality, and they want partners like this.
Yeah.
And forget that.
Leanne, if you want to send me like your letter, like I could look at it like, all right, how would I respond to it? I'd be happy to give you feedback. And the other thing I come across with any hesitation with going to yoga class is people feeling very self-conscious about being in a class, about their body. So that's also points you could play up, that that's your specialty, that you're looking for those kind of people and it's a high comfort level sort of thing, as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Like curvy yoga, you know, targeted at people that feel like they're, you know, overweight. And
yeah. Great.
You two want to connect. It sounds like you have a lot to chat about. So we created a flyer for her yoga. So, you know, that's something that would be good to have, a therapist would have. It's really nice. It has great pictures. It's really an inviting flyer. That kind of thing, too. Okay, guys, guess what? It's time to wrap up. So,
thank you.
I hope this was a useful session. It was good to hear everybody talking about it. Leanne, you sound really excited.
I'm always really excited about yoga.
Yes, not about marketing, but about yoga. Then we put marketing and yoga together, maybe excitement. That's what we want. Like marketing, yeah. So you got to remember, get excited, you'll be excited, more people find out about it. This is a really good plan. Why didn't I think about that? Sorry about that. So that's why the synergy between the group can really help at some points. Okay, so we're going to wrap up. I'm going to stop the recording.